the Google Maps feature we've been waiting for, and more coming up on today's episode of the Latest in Tech News Podcast. Ow, stubbed my toe. Hello and welcome to the Latest in Tech News Podcast. I'm your host and in pain, Taylor Merrick. This is the world's only 3-in-1 daily show on everything tech, gadgets, and gaming news. And if you're new here, welcome. Feel free to chat with us during the show. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Be sure to hit that follow button if you haven't already. If you're listening to this via podcast or the audio version, welcome. Be sure to hit the subscribe button there as well so that you can be notified of when the latest episodes go live. But keep in mind that you're about a day behind, so you really should be joining us over at our live show that we have every single evening over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. As always, if you have any questions before, during, after the show, or a rant or suggestion, and hey, we're on Twitter at technewsgadget, and you can voice your thoughts there, and we'll be sure to keep an eye on it. Octavius won't be... Are you serious? What are you doing now? For those of you listening, Octavius, my pet octopus, is currently upside down. Stupid octopus. Supposed to sit this way. Gravity go to your head, the blood all rushes to your head, and then you faint. Then you wonder what happens when you sit there and you go, this is fun. I don't know, Octavius. I think you've been home for too long or you've worked too hard today. But just so that everybody knows, he's only watching the live chat and interacting with everybody in that capacity. He is not doing Twitter. I'm still trying to convince him. If you guys have any useful arguments that might sway Octavius to want to use Twitter, please let me know. You can send it in either via Twitter at TechNewsGadget or right here in the live chat, and we'll see if we can convince him that way. So, for those of you guys who have studied up on your trivia, I got some more trivia for you guys today. I should probably minimize this so that it's not in the way. I haven't been able to work out a scene for it yet. It's still in the works, but it will be finished soon enough. So, I'll have a couple of trivia questions here for you guys. Let's see if you know your trivia when it comes to tech. First up, Bluetooth technology is named after A, a Native American chieftain, B, a bear that loves blueberries, C, a medieval Scandinavian king, or D, an electric eel with blue teeth. I'll repeat that again. Bluetooth technology is named after A, a Native American chieftain, B, a bear that loves blueberries, C, a medieval Scandinavian king, or D, an electric eel with blue teeth. We got an eel in the chat. Let's plug that in. The correct answer is a medieval Scandinavian king, C. Developed by a consortium that is now called the Bluetooth Special Interest Group, the technology saw initial contributions from companies including Ericsson, IBM, Toshiba, Nokia, and Intel, the last of which employed Jim Kardach, who proposed using Bluetooth as a code name until a more formal name was established. The reference, and here's where it makes sense, goes back to Harald Bluetooth, King of Denmark, from 958 to 986, and King of Norway from 970 to roughly 975-986. It is said that Harald united Danish tribes under a single kingdom, and Kardash hoped that Bluetooth would likewise unify communication protocols. So, a little bit of history there for you. Next up, Windows Millennium Edition, Windows ME, shipped with all of these features except A, automatic Windows updates, B, system restore, C, file system encryption, or D, online Windows games. I'll repeat that again. Windows ME shipped with all of these features except A, automatic Windows updates, B, system restore, C, file system encryption, or D, online Windows games. A couple more seconds here in the chat to see if you guessed the right answer. The answer we're getting in via chat is games. D, is that your final answer? Let's take a look, shall we? The correct answer is C, a file system encryption. Launched in September 2000, Windows ME is immediately recognized as Microsoft's worst consumer operating system, but it brought many new features at the time, not least of which were those mentioned above. ME was also Microsoft's first operating system to boast a fast boot time of 30 seconds or less, and software such as MSN Messenger-based chat program, a home networking wizard, Windows Movie Maker, and more. For all the features Windows ME introduced, native file encryption was not one of them. Fortunately for power users and businesses at the time, Windows 2000 was also available and did provide file system level encryption courtesy of NTFS 3.0 encrypting file system technology, which allowed it to be encrypted. So, they're getting close on there. And, well, let's see. I actually have talked about this last piece of trivia that we'll be covering here. I have talked about this in a previous show. For those of you who have been listening to the show for a while, here we go. Final question for today. The first webcam ever deployed was at Cambridge University. It was designed to monitor what? Was it A, a lounge refrigerator to catch a lunch thief? B, crows nesting outside a laboratory window? C, a door which was open via motion detection? Or D, a coffee pot to know when it was empty? I'll repeat that again. The first webcam ever deployed was at Cambridge University. It was designed to monitor A, a lounge refrigerator, B, crows nesting outside a laboratory window, C, a door which was open via motion detection, or D, a coffee pot to know when it was empty. I actually know the answer to this question because I've covered this fact before. Answer in the chat is crows. Let's plug it in and find out. The answer is D, a coffee pot to know when it was empty. Brief explanation why. Fed up with walking to an empty coffee pot, computer scientists at Cambridge University are said to have developed the first webcam in 1991 to monitor the coffee levels from their desks, which were scattered across many rooms and floors. Camera provided a 128 by 128 pixel grayscale image of the coffee pot at a single frame per second. So then obviously once the coffee pot level was no, people would know, oh dang, there's no coffee. So we're getting there. We're getting there. So that will wrap up trivia for this show. Be sure to brush up on your tech trivia as we will be having another go tomorrow. So, being that we're trying to keep up with the latest trends in technology and seeing what's going on today, before we can do that, y'all know how it works here. We have to go back in history and see what happened on this day in history. Today being September 5th, 2018, on this day in 1980, the last IBM Stretch computer was shut down. The last IBM 7030 Stretch mainframe in active use is decommissioned at Brigham Young University. The first Stretch was delivered to Los Alamos National Laboratory in 1961, giving the model almost 20 years of operating service. The Stretch was famous for many things, but perhaps most notably, it was the first IBM computer to use transistors instead of vacuum tubes. It was the first computer to be designed with the help of an earlier computer, and it was the world's fastest computer, from 1961 to 1964. It still looks like it's large. You could probably, let's see if I can pull it. Do I want to pull a photo over? I don't know. It's big. But it's not as big as ENIAC, but it is a fairly large-sized mainframe computer. So, that wraps up the history for today. Let's jump into today's tech news headlines. First up on the docket, the Google Maps feature we've all been dying for is finally here. And for those of you wondering, well, what new feature have we all been dying to do? I guarantee, once we get into this article, you'll kind of understand and say, oh yeah, because I've done that numerous times myself, and I've always been frustrated that I can't do it on Google Maps. So, let's dig into this article, shall we? Google is testing several new features for Google Maps, including a significant user update that merges driving and transit menus into a single commute option, but that's not all everyone's favorite Maps app has in store. They're also working on a feature people have been dying to see, and it's finally almost here. The feature currently in testing is called Current Trip. What it does is allow Google Map users to return to the navigation route they've just set up in Google Maps without losing it. What happens in Google Maps now, in case you're not aware, is that you can't use the app to perform other searches without interrupting the trip you're on if you're already using the navigation. But Google is testing a way to return to your previous driving directions even after you've used Google Maps for something else, like searching for a nearby restaurant. Makes sense now, to which everybody says, why didn't this feature happen before? I don't know. Apparently Google didn't do enough user surveys. Anyways, as you can see in these images, the user interface has been updated to reflect that Google Maps directions are active. For starters, there's a walking icon in a notifications bar that shows that the user is getting directions in spite of using the app for something else. Then, inside Google Maps, you have a navigation bar at the top, which features a button with the time estimate on it that would allow you to return to the usual Google Maps navigation feature. And here are more screenshots, actually, with it set English. So, there you have it. You'll note in the image on the right that the user still has access to both the new commute tab and the current trip feature, which are also both in testing. Android Police points out that the current trip feature only works with transit directions for the time being, but hopefully it'll be enabled for all navigation modes after it's released in the public version of the app, as I'm sure they're probably going through beta testing and making sure all the bugs and kinks are all worked out. So, for those of you wondering, yay, we can finally use a feature we've all been dying for. Moving on to the next article of today. This comes to us from The Verge, and by the way, if you're looking for where are the show notes for this episode or any other episode, head on over to technewsgadget.net. There you'll be bombarded with a plethora of information and articles that you can spend hours upon hours of grazing, past shows, everything you'd ever want to do. You'll get lost. Have fun. So, Snap launches new styles of spectacles that look more like traditional sunglasses. Oh, and they've got polarized lenses. So we're looking at a couple pictures right now. For those of you listening via podcast, you're totally missing out right now. You should be joining us over at mixer.com/technewsgadget. We're actually doing a video of the show right now. So it'd be great if you did that. Anyways, if the main hang-up that has kept you from purchasing Snap's spectacles has been their design, well, two new models that the company is introducing today might eliminate those hesitations. Snap has just announced the new Veronica and Nico styles of spectacles, too. They contain all the same features and recording quality improvements as the first model introduced in April of this year, but this time inside a more traditional look. It maybe won't be quite so obvious that you're wearing spectacles anymore. The new models of spectacles are also different in a couple of other ways. They've got a polarized lens. They come with a nondescript black semi-soft case instead of the bright yellow hard case you get with the original spectacles too. Both the Veronica and Nico styles are available starting today for $199 in limited quantities at launch. This fall, they'll also be sold at select Nordstrom and Neiman Marcus stores in the US and a variety of retailers in Europe. And like before, Snap's partner Lensabel will let customers order prescription lenses for their glasses. Both models are only available in black for the time being. Oh, so now at this point you're saying, well, what do I need sunglasses for? Well, do you know who Snap is? Snap, for those of you who don't know, is a company that runs Snapchat. So, with these glasses, what you can do is put them on, blink, and it'll take a picture. No need to pull this out anymore. Snap that says that since the introduction of Spectacles 2, users have been posting on average 40% more photos and videos captured with said glasses. The company has also made it easier to share that content on other platforms outside of Snapchat by adding automatic camera roll saves and by allowing users to export video in more conventional square and horizontal formats. A new feature due later this fall will automatically curate a day's best spectacle captures into a highlight story. Be kind of cool. So if you wear them all day and take a plethora of stills and videos, this will prevent you from having to comb over everything yourself for the best moments. Although if you do want to comb it over it for yourself, don't, because you kind of can't brush glasses. You brush hair. Duh. I was trying to go for a joke there. I understand none of you laughed. My comedy's out the window. Anyways, I gotta be serious. But you understand what I'm saying when it comes to highlight stories. You can now have something do it for you automatically if you don't want to sit there and find all the best parts and put them all together. So, there you have it. Spectacles, too. Now looking more and more like a regular sunglass. Yeah. Moving on, Audi is killing its manual transmission cars, and the reason why is, well, America is kind of losing its interest in stick shift manual transmission cars, opting more for automatic instead. This is kind of something that was coming down the road. I know at least a couple of you are interested in Audis, and several of you own them, but yeah, that was... And I know some of you got the manual transmission specifically because it had better gas mileage along with everything else that came with it. But see, what this article goes on to state is that the popularity of cars and trucks with manual transmissions is falling sharply as fewer Americans learn how to drive them and automakers are avoiding making them. On top of that, the long-held arguments in favor of driving a stick that they make cars more fuel efficient and cheaper to buy aren't always true anymore because automatic transmissions have greatly improved and are continuing to improve. Kind of erasing the practical reasons why some drivers prefer manuals anyways, but if you're used to it, like riding a bike, then you're used to it. So, I understand. So while stick shift isn't dead, its future is kind of grim. Once the only kind of transmission available, manuals became an essential part of a car's design, and obviously they blinged it out as well. So now, there's a senior analyst at IHS Market who studies automotive powertrain issues who actually said that the market for sticks or manual transmissions is at a point where it's not a necessity or even much of an option anymore. Look no further than Audi. The luxury automotive brand, part of Volkswagen Group, confirmed it will no longer offer any manual transmission vehicles in the U.S. beginning with the 2019 model year. The final Audi models offered with the stick shift variant were the 2018 A4 sedan and A5 coupe, according to an Audi spokeswoman. From now on in the US, it's nothing but automatic transmissions for the German brand. And this article goes on to explain transmission advancements and four common types of transmissions. This whole fun article that you can read. My English is... could you tell I've been working all day? I'm kind of burned out. But I'll survive. I'll live. So, for the rest of you who want to read the full details about this story, I have that in the show notes for you, and you can go ahead and check that out. So, good, bad, or otherwise? I don't know. We'll see. Voice your opinions in the chat or on Twitter, at TechNewsGadget. We'd love to hear what you guys think. Finally, on the docket for today is Fortnite mobile players have figured out a way to predict the path and final location of the purple cube. For those of you who've been living under a rock, or maybe the cube in this case, for the past week or two, there's been this purple cube that showed up and is now just rolling around the map. It's giving off really weird bugs at times, as was seen in the Summer Skirmish finals a couple of days ago. It's been usually bouncing players up in the air and killing them, returning their bullets back to them and killing them, bouncing them off when you hit them with a pickaxe, regenerating shields, low gravity fields if you're in the area, and then some. But remember, earlier, maybe a week or two ago, I had mentioned an article where some person was predicting where the map, where the cube was going to roll, somewhere into the middle of the map. What's up, Slinky? Stream isn't working. Are you able to hear and see everything fine? Let me know. Let's see. So, Fortnite mobile players believe they found a way of predicting the movements of the mysterious cube that appeared on August 24th and has been moving around the map ever since. It has been theorized that the cube will eventually end up in or near Loot Lake, and mobile players using the lowest graphic settings may have confirmed it. According to a Reddit post that has gained a huge amount of traction, playing on these low settings allow players to see patches of grass that indicate where the cube has been, where it might be in the future. Players quickly starting to work together and report back with various coordinates that have these patches of grass, and this has allowed us to kind of create a map that should show exactly where the cube should end up, but we'll see. As you can see, the cube's movements. Slinky, thank you for the follow, because I indeed appreciate it. Looking at an image right here, the cube's movements from its starting location in Paradise Palms to its current location near Dusty Divot all line up with the patches of grass. If that tends to hold true, it looks like it will continue to move up to Wailing Woods, along to Lazy Links and Pleasant Park, and then finally stop moving next to Loot Lake just to the north. Tilted Towers. Kind of interesting, it's been rolling all over the place, we're not quite sure where it's all going. Of course, keep in mind, this is rumor and speculation at this point, but the patches of grass that players have uncovered that lead you to Loot Lake seem to be much of a coincidence to be ignored. Loot Lake has been the number one suggestion for the cube's final resting place ever since data miners leaked files that said move to lake and turn on shortly after. With Season 5 coming to an end soon, you can guarantee that a major event involving the cube is on its way. So, what do you think will happen with this mysterious purple cube? Let me know your thoughts. You could let us know in the live chat room. You can also let us know on Twitter, at TechNewsGadget, and we'll be sure to see where this leads. So, with that being said, that wraps up all of the articles for today. So, I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in today and for joining us. Ow, I punched myself. That's going to bruise. Why is life gonna be so difficult? By the way, if we happen to miss something on the show or there's something specific that you want us to keep you informed on, let us know. We are on Twitter, like I've mentioned before. You can also let us know during the live chat. You can send me an email, technewsgadget@gmail.com, and we'll be sure to keep you up to date with the latest tech news. Being that this episode is called, well, it's part of the Latest in Tech News podcast, that's a wrap. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick. This show is a production of Tech News Gadget. For the latest in tech, gadget, and gaming news, be sure to head on over to technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.